Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, welcoming you to today's edition of All Sides Weekend, where we talk about the arts and culture in Central Ohio. And before we get started, before I introduce the panel, I want to make the point that this area, Central Ohio, Columbus, is much richer in the arts than people may realize. And I have three perfect people to tell you all more about that. They are Sherry Mitchell, who is the executive director of Ballet Met. Nanette Macy-Junes is the executive director of the Columbus Museum of Art. And Stephen Anderson is the executive director of everything. No, he is the artistic director of CATCO and somebody who's been involved in theater in this community for many, many years. So welcome all of you and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
My point made that there's a great degree of richness in quality and quantity in this community. I don't think any of you would disagree with that. But also, Sherry, for example, you are at Ballet Met in some bit of a transition, which can be enormously exciting and enormously draining at the same time. So bring us up to speed with Ballet Met a little bit.
Well, Gerard Charles, who has been the artistic director at Ballet Met for 11 years and actually had been associated with the company for 22 out of the last 26 years, has taken a position at the Joffrey Ballet in Chicago, which is very exciting for him and very sad for us. But as you said, it's a time of transition. We have a search that we're involved in right now, and we are hopeful to be able to name a new artistic director by the end of this year. Now, that individual might then start sometime by next season. So that's the exciting part, looking to the future. And that's also the, there's some trepidation about change. And we're real busy doing what we do, plus doing a search.
How many dancers now in the company?
There are 25 professional dancers, and we have 5 trainees this year as well.
You said that you were looking for a new artistic director, and just refresh us on what that job is. Why is that important?
Well, the artistic director sets, I don't want to say the total vision, because it's done in collaboration with the board and the community, our needs in the community, what the community that we serve, but the artistic director is responsible for all areas of the artistic product. So the dancers, the choreographers, the designers, the music, the shape of the season. And at Ballet Met, the artistic director also is very involved with our academy, working with the academy director to set what type of training and education young dancers get so that you want to train them in the type of ballet and the type of dance that you're presenting on stage so that there's a continuity there.
When you say ballet, do you mean on point? Do you mean people standing on their toes? Or?
Well, we Ballet Met, ballet has really broadened over the last few decades. There are very few companies now that would just do point work. There has been quite a blending or melding or sharing of the modern world and the classical ballet world. So we, Ballet Met, have a company that we say are classically trained, based, soloist quality dancers, but our repertoire is quite varied from, jazzy works that we did with the Columbus Jazz Orchestra to much more, and the great classics as well. So our dancers need to be very versatile.
And our friends here at WOSU were involved in Jazz Moves with Ballet Met. That's a wonderful tripartite collaboration between Ballet Met and the Columbus Jazz Orchestra. Nanette Macy-Junes, welcome back.
Good to be here.
New grandmother. Yes, youthful.
Yes, I am a new grandmother.
Youthful new grandmother. My former colleague for the radio here. And now the museum's been around since about 1930, but you haven't.
The museum's been around since 1878.
Oh, pardon me. I'm just
Next
going by the building.
Next year is 135 years. We're pretty.
And there's a lot going on there, too. I walked in there last week to visit, and even after a few months, it's a little bit different and very welcoming and very spacious, and you're in the midst of a capital campaign. And bring us up to speed on the Columbus Museum of Art, Mrs. Caravaggio over here.
Oh, Caravaggio was fun, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Well, we're having a great year. We've got two exhibitions, one that's coming to an end that I don't want people to miss in Columbus. It closes on September 9th. It's called The Radical Camera. It's actually collections-based. We have the most important collection in the world of Photo League, vintage Photo League photographs. The Photo League existed from 1936 to 1951. It was shut down by McCarthy. They were accused of actually being a communist front organization. But they were they were committed to documentary photography. And much of the work was done in New York, but they also, many of them also participated in the, during the Depression and the FSA photography project, so they went out across the country. But we did this exhibition with the Jewish Museum in New York, which owns the second most important collection. This is the first major exhibition of the material. It started in New York. I'm actually excited that it's opened in New York first, because it was in the New York Times five times. It was in the New Yorker. It was in the Wall Street Journal. It was in the Art in America. None of us understood the art form review, but we got an art form review. It's been everywhere. And the book, which we did with Yale University Press, has been named a top 10 book. The show was named a top 10 show. I mean, this is an extraordinary exhibition.
So sell me. If I go over there, what am I going to see?
Well, it's black and white work, but it really brings back to you, what America looked like in the 30s through the early 50s. There's a whole section on Harlem. They did a project in Harlem documenting, a life in Harlem in the 30s. There's war photographs. A number of the photoleaguers go off to war. Walter Rosenblum actually photographed the D-Day invasion, Normandy invasion. So it's really interesting. It's a great show, but the other thing about it, I think, that's really exciting, that's different from the show when it was seen in New York, is that we put sort of the CMA spin on it, which is very much about being welcoming and interactive. I think it shows the best of the old world and the new world for us. It's beautiful work. It's very beautifully installed. But at the same time, there are these great interactives. The new one we're trying is there are little, they're like little chits with, that have different words on them, and they're in a big bin. And then there are little hooks near every photograph, and you can walk around the exhibition and decide where the one of the words is irony, one's injustice, one's empathy, one is, compassion. There are all these different words that you might use to describe the photographs. You decide where you want to put your word, and you hang the little tag on the hook. And for some of us, that isn't what we want to do when we're in a photo show. But I have to tell you, last week we had a young couple come in. Maybe it's about 2 weeks ago now. Obviously on a date. Obviously her choice.
P.S. That's a very good date destination.
It is. It's a great destination.
In case you all don't know, yes. Columbus Museum of Art.
So came in, clearly her choice. He went and found the first sofa. We've moved away from benches. We have comfortable seating. Sprawled out, looked about as miserable as he could possibly be. She goes around the first gallery, photograph by photograph, clearly a show she's interested in. You get to the second gallery, and that's where the big bin with the little tags are. She goes over, she reads the instructions, she picks up a handful of them, she goes over and talks to her friend, and he actually gets interested, and they spent 45 minutes in the exhibition together doing this activity of putting words, talking about what word they're going to put. So we've introduced into the galleries a lot of, they're for everybody, but the ones in the galleries are not necessarily child-oriented at all. They're about all of us. It's about ways to engage. We've got lots of post-it note boards where you can have a conversation. You can give us feedback. What do you think about this? So it's a really different kind of museum experience, and it's been very successful. Attendance is up.
If you read anything about the arts, trends in the arts for the last 5 years and projections into the future, you find that everybody has to really diversify what they do for whom and to expand. I'm looking at three perfect examples of that, of really people don't go to museums with their hats on from church anymore and just sort of look at the paintings and leave, because there's, as you say, there's too much physically to do. Very much the same for Ballet Met. Steven Anderson could sell ice to Eskimos. He could get anyone into the theater. So I have to ask you, you have Avenue Q coming up, mm-hmm. which is not without controversy, but enormously mm-hmm. entertaining. Yeah. Katko's face has changed over the few years.
It has, and we've really welcomed younger audiences and tried to find new ways to engage in exactly the same way that Nanette is talking about. One of the things that we did was a series of staged readings in which we had a Twitter screen behind the actors, and the audience could actually respond to what they were seeing or ask each other questions or much the same way you would sit in your living room and have a conversation watching a television show. And people said, "Oh, you can't do that. you know, that's sacrilege.
Theater.
You should be telling them to turn off those phones. And it was a really fascinating way to engage. So Avenue Q is certainly not standard fare for us.
It's a big hit though.
It's a huge hit. It was a Tony winner in 2003 and has had a huge life in the major cities, and it's now available to us. It's the first opportunity I can think of to watch puppets having sex on stage.
Well, there you go. I mean, did we have to bleep that? No, we're good. Okay, very good. Steven Anderson,
That's how I sell it, Chris.
I'm having a very, very lively
selling ice to Eskimo
conversation here. Now you're going to give that idea to my other two colleagues here and think, how can we? Well, the ballet, you sort of can do that. In fact, Sherry, tell me, remind us a little bit. We have to go to a break in a few minutes, but remind us a little bit of your performance space, because I love that. I keep harping on that with you, but really, I think it's terrific.
We have a 225-seat, what we call black box theater, that's right next door to our main center. And it's truly close, up close and intimate. And you, in that sort of space, see every move that the dancers make. You hear their breath. You really feel totally connected. And we've done a number of things in that space. Just the intimacy has that. We make sure our dancers actually come out and talk to the audience, different ones for each of the shows. We have done video of choreographers and dancers so that they can see some of the process actually on the screen before then they're watching the dance. So it's a great opportunity to, and our next production that opens there is September 21st, called The American Songbook, which we're also collaborating with the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus, and going to have a great time in there.
So will the chorus be there live?
Yes. And there will be the Vox part of the chorus. So
about 18 members or something?
Yeah, 16 I think they're going to be bringing. But we have Stella Kane, who danced with Fosse, and it's going to be songs like Cole Porter, Mercer, Ellington, and the chorus will be singing. And then we have another work that's all set to Patsy Cline music, and a third one that's Sammy Davis Jr. music. So it's going to be quite the, I think, very accessible and fun.
How long will that run?
It will run for 3 weekends, so September 21st through October 7th.
Boy, that's a great introduction to dance for somebody who hasn't seen dance before. Mm-hmm. That combination of music and movement and having the sweat fly off in your face is terrific. I'm Christopher Purdy. Today we are talking about the arts in Central Ohio. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org or find us on Facebook. One more time, 292-8513. We're going to go to a break for just 1 minute. We will be right back. Don't go away.
The Olympics begin this week, and everybody's talking about the big opening ceremony, a spectacle of all that Britain has contributed to world culture. You can thrill to the enormous 80-foot-high Benny Hill, eating organ meats and drinking lukewarm beer. I'm Peter Sagal. The sun will never set on this week's Wait, Wait, because we're on during the day. Join us for the news quiz from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, tomorrow morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News. 81 degrees in downtown Columbus with partly cloudy skies. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. We will see some sunshine, a high of 90 degrees. Scattered showers and thunderstorms for tonight. Cloudy skies, a low of 70. Mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain on Saturday, a high of 85. Clear skies for Saturday night and a comfortable low of 64. Sunshine and back up to 88 for Sunday. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Thank you, our producer, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy with Sherry Mitchell, who is the executive director of Ballet Met. Nanette Macy-Junes is the executive director of the Columbus Museum of Art, and Steven Anderson, artistic director of CATCO, which, to give it its due, the Contemporary American Theater Company, but it's CATCO Phoenix right now,
no,
right?
No, it is. CATCO is theater.
CATCO
just
is theater?
You did a new branding. CATCO is theater, and CATCO is kids.
And it's for kids and their friends, all their friends. So just never mind all that. Just show up. That's all you have to do. I mentioned at the break that we have a Facebook page for All Sides, and I'm urging people to use it. And that leads us to the topic of social media. You said that you were having people tweeting on big screens. I'm sure a lot of people were appalled by that, and I'm sure a lot of people were very attracted to that.
Well, it's interesting. The people who objected to it turned it around, because we ended up doing dramaturgy on the Twitter screen as well, so that throughout the play you could point out things about the play. So it can be very engaging and very interesting. We also used a Facebook page to promote Evil Dead the musical when we did it. Mm-hmm. We had personal profile. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. There was personal profiles for two of the characters, and we started 6 weeks before the show started, and what they did and when they met and all the some of my contemporaries thought they were real people and couldn't figure out why I was asking them to friend these people who were drinking and going out to the cabin in the woods. I had to sort of clue them in, but the younger people really, you know,
they got it. And, yeah, I would have been one of the older people.
Yeah, right.
Wow, okay. Yeah, sorry. Nanette, how about you? You do a lot of outreach at the
museum.
We do,
in fact. We actually have someone on staff that is committed to social media and what we're doing with social media. For the Radical Camera Show, we came up with photo hunts, which every 2 weeks we post on Facebook and some other sites, a challenge, a photo challenge, the documentary photo challenge. And we've had well over 500 people engage. They submit their photographs, and you know, and then the next challenge they submit again. And at the end of the exhibition, we're going to have our photography curator, Catherine Evans, choose the best work and then exhibit it at the museum. So this idea of finding new ways to feel a part of an exhibition or a part of a performance, I think is really going to change the arts over time. A lot of colleagues are scared, though. They feel that, you know, it'll replace something or it'll... But I think that actually most of us find it a whole new avenue of connecting.
I can't imagine you, Nanette, doing a kind of commercial like, I'm Philippe de Montebello from the... You know, very sort of educated and, you know, a little bit off-putting.
You know, he came here.
I know he did, yes.
But he gave a great lecture.
Right.
I have my ice moment. Do we all... Philippe de Montebello is actually a true descendant of the Marquis de Sade.
Really? Oh,
really?
And this came up because we had the old auditorium before we renovated our auditorium, which is now very comfy. It was very bad. Mm. You know, people, you would just sell your soul to get out of the auditorium. I jokingly said to him, it's sort of a kind of a Marquis de Sade auditorium. And he said, you should not take the Marquis de Sade in vain. And I said, why? And he said, I'm actually a descendant. God. I said, really? It's kind of interesting. He's French. I mean, it's possible.
The things you learn. We have a call from Marcia, who had a great point. I want to get her involved in the conversation. Hello, Marcia.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Last year, I was in Seattle on a vacation visiting my brother-in-law, who actually is involved with the Fifth Avenue Theater there. And while we were there, there was a day, the whole city got together and had a day for the arts, where the symphony and the ballet and various local music groups got together and presented short programs that were open to the public, absolutely free. And everybody had brochures and stuff promoting their particular, you know, area. And it was just delightful.
What a great idea.
What a great idea. Marcia, thank you for that call,
because
that's going to engender some conversation here, I think. But I appreciate that, Marcia. Thank you.
Okay.
Didn't we think of this idea once? We've talked about it, but we've never done it.
Well, listen, so we have one day out of the year just for the arts in Columbus, in Central Ohio and Columbus, where everybody opens their doors for free and does what you do. How would you make that happen? That would, you talk about collaboration, that would involve a lot of collaboration with a lot of people. Do you think it's viable?
Oh, sure. And this is a community in which there's a lot of... I mean, you hear Nanette and I and CATCO, the museum in CATCO, I should say. I think of it in personal terms, but we're collaborating on a production of Red, which was about Mark Rothko, and at the same time that they're having a Rothko exhibition.
Yeah.
So we speak at least monthly in a meeting that we all go to.
Yes.
And so this is a highly collaborative city in a way that I don't think many other cities are. Ballet Met was one of the first to really encourage people to join them.
Cool. In addition to the three of you, we have the Symphony, we have Pro Musica, we have the Columbus Dance Theater. We have there's a lot of theater out there as well. Let's try to make that. Here's a question for our listeners right now: if Columbus had a day for the arts, one day, would you go? Would you go to that? And what would you expect or like to see? 292-8513 or all sides at WOSU.org or find us on Facebook. Sherry, you wanted to say something.
I was thinking about when the tsunami and then
yes,
with the Katrina, the organizations got together and did excerpts performing, but we also had visual art, and we had the CCAD students also were drawing as people were performing on stage, and that was totally different, but it was, you got this taste, and I know that one of my board members at that time didn't even know that the Columbus Jazz Orchestra existed, and said, oh my gosh, they are really good, and I think he's a subscriber now, you know, so, but we could do it in a lot of different ways.
They're fantastic, and their academy is fantastic at the Columbus Jazz Orchestra. So, I mean, I'm getting excited here. Talk amongst yourselves out there, because this is very. But seriously, I would love to hear from people if they would participate, if they would attend a day in the arts and make 3 hours just doing the rounds of all of your various venues and watching these companies in action. 292-8513. Now, Stephen, we were kidding about Avenue Q, but that is coming up. Just tell us what that's about.
Well, I'm not allowed to say that it's like Sesame Street for adults because there was some lawsuit or something about that, I think. But it is,
in
fact.
You did not say that.
It is about disaffected young people just, you know, at 20, 25, trying to figure out what their lives are going to be like. It's a musical. It includes such songs as The Internet is for Porn and If You Were Gay. So it's definitely puppets for adults. This is not something to be confused with our kids' audience.
Right. So CATCo is for theater, period, not for children sometimes, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
That's all right.
Certainly R-rated. And it takes place on Avenue Q. Everybody lives there and knows each other and helps each other and it's very funny.
Now, you just said you were collaborating with the museum on Red. How does that collaboration work between theater and a museum? I'm interested about that.
Well, we're just working on it.
This one was total luck, I think. Don't you think?
I'd love to say it was great planning. But
I think this was just serendipity. But we have, next year we had this opportunity to be one of four partner museums that participated in this wonderful Mark Rothko show. There's this body of work at the National Gallery in Washington that my understanding is it's rarely been seen. And it's the run-up to the classic work, and the show ends with those classic, beautiful abstractions. But we got to bring it here, and then we found out almost simultaneously that we were going to do an original production of Red in Columbus, which is a play about Mark Rothko.
Right, about when he was painting the Seagram's murals, the exhibition actually goes right up to that point. And so you can see the early work and then the introduction of blocks of color. And I was fascinated by it when we had one of our first meetings and looked at the images that are
now, is this something in preparation?
It's in February.
Really? So you've got a date. It's happening. Okay,
here's an interesting, talk about interesting obscure facts about Columbus. I just got an email from Christopher Rothko, who's Mark Rothko's son, and he actually spent sort of his teenage years in Columbus because he had family that lived here, and he has these incredibly fond memories of Columbus. So he's terribly excited that the show is going to be here, and he's loves the idea of the theater, you know, productions at the same time. So it's really great.
Sherry, speak a minute as well, because this is related, and talk about your academy, because that's an important part of your mission.
Yes, we have a large academy, and we have classes for children as young as three with their parent or guardian. And then I think our oldest student right now is either 82 or 83. So, you know, we have the range. So we can take young children, youth. We have a section of our academy that when a student reaches the point where they believe they want to be a professional dancer and have the facility to do so, we have the team and the training and a focus to help them accomplish that. A number of our students have gone on to professional dance careers. But there's people who've never danced before, And they can come in and enjoy. And so it's not just ballet. We have ballet and jazz and tap and those things that you'd think of. But we also have yoga and Pilates. We have flamenco. And so a lot of variety there. And we have a real strong connection from our dance academy to programs that we also take out into the community and the school. And I wanted to say that obviously we had a big collaboration for the last more than a year with Stephen and our education program, a program called Magic and Movement, that we do with preschoolers in Head Starts and Columbus Early Learning Centers. And we've produced a book that accompanies that program now, and Stephen wrote the book. We had an illustrator from she's a graduate from Columbus College of Art and Design. She did the illustrations. So that was a wonderful, I think, collaboration on our part.
There are lots of ways in which we're intertwined, yes. I think. You know, we teach some classes for
and
academy.
Right, exactly.
In acting.
I wanted to say Phoenix. I'm sorry, CATCO.
Right, yeah.
There, yes, we have, we just started doing our summer intensive, which ends today. Which are students, we audition all over the country. So students come in from many, many, many states and sometimes internationally. And Stephen has one of his actor teachers who come and do acting classes for the summer intensive and during the regular year for our pre-professional program as well.
Among the three of you, I mean, there's so much going on in your own companies and one another's together separately. I mean, we talked 4 or 5 years ago about how we have to start collaborating. You're doing it. It's happening. It's it's out there right now. 292-8513. If you have questions about the arts in Central Ohio, this is your day to call. Sherry Mitchell, the executive director of Ballet Met. Nanette Macy-Junes, the executive director of the Columbus Museum of Art and CATCO's Is Theater, owned Stephen Anderson, 292-8513. We have a call from Sue. Hello, Sue.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that every summer I go to Germany, and one of the programs that they do, I think, countrywide is they have an open door day, and it's usually for governmental buildings. But I thought that would be a great concept for the arts here, where everyone literally opens their doors, and it's phenomenally successful. And I think that if you applied it to the arts here and just literally opened your doors and had, you know, small programs that people could wander in and out of, I think it would be quite successful.
I do, too. Sue, thank you very much for that example. I appreciate your call. Thank you. Yeah, I think if this could happen, you'd be overrun in a great way. I mean, you'd have to be 3 or 4 days eventually for the arts to accommodate everybody who wants to go. We have Paul on the line from Blacklick. Paul?
Smart and open city.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I think it's a fantastic idea to have an open door day. The only suggestion I would make is that some of us are fairly busy. Schedule it far enough out that people can get it on their calendar and not have the excuse that they were too busy.
Paul, that's great advice, Paul. Thank you for your call.
Go ahead. The other thing I wanted to mention was talking about collaboration. You know, one of the best ones that we've seen, at least in Columbus, is the collaboration between the Jazz Orchestra and Ballet Met.
Yeah.
They just do a fantastic job, and I hope that one continues, certainly.
Thank you so much. That's a great idea. Thank you, Paul, for your comments. 292-8513. We're talking about the arts in Central Ohio. We're talking about maybe having one day for the arts. We're talking about a lot more as well. Sarah has sent us an email. I love the idea of more partnerships to make the arts more accessible. I can't afford memberships or season tickets to every organization. I think it would be great to offer a Columbus Arts Passport. You pay one fee and go to anything at least once and get your passport stamped or something like that. Well, they had the 5 and 5 here. Something. Yeah, I mean, is that similar? What about that? Is
well,
that viable?
Well, we did. Oh, yeah. I don't know. At different years, we've done a sort of Taste of Columbus or the Passport. Yeah. But it's been a number of years now. It's been quite a long time.
You know,
time.
When we did the Egypt show, we did a Passport to Egypt when we did, so you could come to the museum's exhibition and then there was activities and you got your passport stamped and then you could go to the libraries, all of the Columbus, metropolitan libraries, and then COSI.
Yes.
Because COSI was our major program. And that was it made people think about the experience differently, so they interacted differently, by going to all three organizations and the libraries being part of it.
I think if we had this, passport like she suggested. It's like it's making sure there's some kind of infrastructure or someone to help. Mm-hmm. You know, or is each organization take the order, or is there one central place that's
complicated?
It was too, yeah.
I couldn't understand it, and
yeah.
I was like, oh,
and so I think that you know maybe I'll just volunteer the Arts Council. No, but maybe working in collaboration.
Milt will be calling next to say, "Don't stop."
Exactly.
Don't do it.
Well, I'd love to hear from GCAC you know, the Arts Council or anybody out there, the mayor's office, to talk with us about a day for the arts in Columbus. Mike is on the line. He has a question about Ballet Met. Mike, hi.
Hi. I was wondering whether Ballet Met had any connections with local public schools so that kids who aren't able to go appreciate the arts with their family are able to go with maybe throughout their schools through field trips. I mean, how often is it that schools hold field trips to these kind of events?
Thanks, Mike. That's a great question.
Sorry. Yeah. So, Mike, we have a number of programs that we actually do in the schools. Some of them are 6 weeks up to, you know, multiple week residencies, and we work with individual. Some are at second grade level. Some are at fifth grade. But we also have programs where if there's a teacher or homeschooling where we can provide opportunities in our to come to Ballet Met where we teach and watch the company, we do what we call morning at the ballet programs, which are fully produced performances at the theaters, and we work with the school teachers, and we also work with homeschools, and those tickets are very, very inexpensive, but you see the whole program. And we also have a program called Kid Ticks, which we work with numerous schools or social service agencies that we provide complimentary tickets for young people to be able to see the performances. But if you, and I don't know if this, I mean, if you wanted to reach me directly, you could call me at Ballet Met or reach me on my email so I could connect you to the right people or the types of programs that you or others might be interested in.
And those are outlined on your website. Aren't
right,
they?
Yeah. Website, balletmet.org.
Okay. And my name is Sherry Mitchell, and you get the phone number, and you can make a personal call to me or send me an email.
You know, Chris, you were talking about that a lot of people don't know how great the arts are in Columbus. I think one of the things a lot of people don't know is how much we do in education. Every one of us has extensive programs. And anymore, it's, you know, this, you know, if you're an adult, you're like, well, I remembered I went to the art museum once or I did the, you know, but these are extensive. It's from preschool all the way through college internships. There's so many opportunities where we take the arts to the students and then we also try to get them to come to us. And that exposure is critical in those early years.
I'm glad you brought that up because it's true. Most people do not know, unless maybe they have children in the primary grades or something, have no idea. They think that all of your companies exist only to do what they see on a, like a main stage thing, but that's probably no disrespect,
it's like an iceberg.
But it's half at least of what's going on. We've got to take a break. We'll be back in 90 seconds. We want your thoughts about Arts Day and the arts in Central Ohio.
When Columbus crossed the Atlantic, it completely altered the biosphere of the Americas by bringing foreign plants and animals, as well as infectious diseases, to the New World. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Charles Mann, author of 1493, Uncovering the New World Columbus Created. It's just been published in paperback. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. 83 degrees in downtown Columbus. Partly sunny skies today, but we could see some scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, a high of 90 degrees. Scattered showers for tonight, cloudy skies, a low of 70. Mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain on Saturday, a high of 85.
Support for 89.7 comes from OSU's John Glenn School of Public Affairs, offering continuing education and graduate degree programs designed for the working professional. More information at glenn.osu.edu.
And it's time to get off the interstate and enjoy the scenic beauty of Ohio's small towns. Join WOSU Public Media and the Ohio Humanities Council for a road trip around Ohio. Mondays during Morning Edition, learn about a unique part of the Buckeye State. From Marion to Chillicothe, from the neighborhoods to Cleveland to Underground Railroad paths near Cincinnati. It's a road trip around Ohio. Listen Mondays during Morning Edition on 89.7 NPR News. And for more information, visit seeohiofirst.org. And All Sides Weekend continues.
I'm Christopher Purdy. My usual beat is Classical 101, but I'm delighted to cross the hallway and to be part of 89.7 and to welcome Sherry Mitchell from Ballet Met, Nanette Macy-Junes from the Columbus Museum of Art, and Stephen Anderson from CATCO. We're talking about the arts in Central Ohio. We're talking about really involving the public in the arts in Central Ohio. And I want you all to know that our wonderful intern, Corrine, is putting links for all of these things we're talking about on our website, WOSU.org. Find it there, /all sides. Find it there. And any kind of question, I think, probably will be answered there. So, Sherry Mitchell, you had a dream. I had a dream.
I have a dream. Yes, exactly.
Tell me about your dream.
Well, I've always thought that, I've been to the Spoleto Festival in Charleston a number of times, and I think, well, we could do this here in Columbus. As Stephen and Nanette were saying, we're such a collaborative arts community. And even if it just started with one day, and so when people were saying the open door, maybe that's the start of it. And then over time, it would build where you would have multiple locations and multiple art forms happening for young, for all different ages. And people, we'd become a destination for people to come here and partake of, all that we have to offer. We have such a rich community.
And we have a strong arts council that could be.
Yes.
We were saying that sometimes when things are tried in the past, there wasn't a coordination point, but mm-hmm. GCAC is becoming, it's always been great and it's reinventing itself and it's doing a great job, and it could be that,
right,
that centerpiece.
And then, we have the new, I don't know if brand's the word, but Columbus Smart and Open. And I just see that, connection. We start with an open door day or whatever we end up calling it, but connect it to that and then, build from there. I just think there's a lot of opportunity.
Let's all lobby for an open door day for the arts in Columbus, even if it's a year from now, to give everybody time to prepare. I wanted to also ask, because I know each of you are very involved in education. When you do that, when you go in the schools or when you perform for young people, what kind of return can you either track or expect, if any?
Return meaning?
What do you get from it?
We get a culturally literate, wonderful citizenry that is growing up feeling that this is integral to life in America. I think that's what we get.
Write that down. That's the perfect.
that's
very
wonderful.
Good. And that's great on her feet.
Well, I was going to say that one of the things the museum has done is we've realigned a lot of things around the promotion of creativity. And, you run into a lot of people say, well, I could never be a painter. I could never be a dancer or an actor. But they forget that creativity, which is at the heart of everything we do in the arts, all of us need that, whether we're, whether we're a mechanic or we're an accountant or a teacher. Or creativity is how we solve problems. It's how we think out of the box. It's how we move forward as a country and as a culture. And the arts can do so much for that. I think it's just...
Well, in a world that's ever exponentially changing, yes, creativity is the only edge that we have. And we have to encourage our children to think that way. And unfortunately, what we do in schools sometimes is quite the opposite without our help. There's a great TED in which the guy's talking about a little girl who's drawing a picture, and the teacher says, what is that? And she said, it's a picture of God. And she says, you can't draw a picture of God. Nobody knows what God looks like. And she says, they will when I finish.
Which is
the creative spirit we want to keep alive.
And isn't there's a frightening statistic, and I'm going to be bad at this, where it's from, but they actually track creativity in children, and they've been doing it for decades. And there's actually a statistic that shows that creativity is actually the score dropped for the first time in the United States.
In the United States.
I mean, we need to, this is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do a lot of work with theater, using theater to teach other subject matter. And we're now in a 3-year pilot project at West Broad, in which third graders, fourth graders, and fifth graders are working together to create plays about difficult curriculum concepts.
One of the most, moving things you ever told me, Stephen Anderson, was that you or your staff or your actors have worked with the police with children who have been abused to help them.
Actually, it's the opposite. It's to help law enforcement officers to learn how to talk and interrogate.
But what
children.
An incredible use of talent that is as well. And so, as I say, keep making the point that what you see on the stage of a Saturday night is great and wonderful, but it's a part of what goes on. A lot of people don't see, but enough of our children do, thank goodness. So that's wonderful.
And not even just kids. It's all of us, because we just started a new program with the Alzheimer's Association called Sparking Imaginations, which is for people who suffer from Alzheimer's, but also for their caregivers to come in. We've learned that the arts, you know, this can be an experience that really enriches lives, both for caregivers who are doing so hard to take care of their loved ones, and also for the person suffering from Alzheimer's themselves. And it's a great program.
And you also have wonderful curators, because I've been in there a few times, and Dominique or Catherine will come up and say, "Now, did you notice the font?" And it's wonderful, because I would have had no clue really about what I was looking at. 2928513, we have Carol on the line. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I'm actually on my way to Ballymet right now. Jerry, we know you.
Right.
My daughter's a student at the Academy and just finishing up summer intensive, so they're having their performance today. But there are a lot of student performances and exhibitions around that we just never know about until they're either right on you and you say, "Oh, that'd be interesting," but then there's no time to go and see that. Is there any place that puts out information about student performances other than maybe the organization that's sponsoring it?
Right, good question.
I think there are times when I'd like to see the youth orchestra, or I'd like to go to an exhibit at CCAD, but I never know about it.
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I'm not, because the Greater Columbus Arts Council has the columbusarts.com website, I don't think it's the, I don't think the youth, like the youth orchestra or the jazz youth, I don't think it's
a great idea.
But it's a great idea.
Carol, thank you for that. We're going to see what we can do about that. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. It would be a wonderful addition, because parents, we go watch our kids all the time, but I'd like to see, what my daughter's friends are doing, too.
Okay. Thank you for your call. Thank you very
much.
You're welcome. That's interesting, because it's all comes down to, is there one resource people can tap into that can tell them anything? And I don't know any community where the answer is yes. It's a kind of a hard thing to have to reinvent. We have Ed on the line from Coshocton. Hello, Ed.
Hi. I was also thinking about the Ohio Alliance for Arts in Education, and I know several of your guests have probably worked with them, as well as with people at the Department of Education. And I know the Ohio Alliance for Arts in Education has several days throughout the year, mostly for advocacy, but I don't know if an Arts Day might be built in with anything that they do, because they mainly do advocacy as far as performances, and or maybe at the Arts Festival in June, there could be more performances that radiate out from that.
Great idea.
So I'm just thinking about that. I was a person who worked at the Department of Education briefly as the state music consultant, and it was a part-time job and was cut. And I also would remind people that, as long with working with organizations, I hope they're really working to keep the arts programs going in their schools, so that when they bring in the visiting artists, the teachers have had time to help resource the kids, and because I don't want to depend totally on guests, as good as their programs are.
Right.
There needs to be a conscientiously applied arts program in every school.
Good for you, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
We agree.
Thank you very much. We're getting great calls today.
There's some great news at the Ohio Alliance for Arts and Education as well. The GCAC's former community arts programs are merging with OAAE. And there's a more of a sort of strategic advantage there for the two of them, both statewide and locally.
And I was going to say, I think working with our teachers is really, really important. Mm-hmm. We've just started something called the Creativity Institute, which helps educators who are educators have so much on their plates. Right. I mean, anything we can do to, you know, to encourage them to use the arts, and because they've got lots going on. But the Creativity Institute is specifically about helping educators who are interested in, you know, using, you know, creativity in classroom experiences and how to make it more integral rather than an add-on.
Yeah, so. We have a couple of programs. I mean, it's a little bit different, but in our what we call Magic and Movement, which is for the preschool, that program is absolutely connected to then having professional development for all of those teachers so that when we leave, they have all the tools and they've received the appropriate, you know, training and help to be able to carry that work forward. And also, like, we do a program called Aladdin, Finding the Magic in Dance, but it's all about helping the teacher and do the professional development, but I think that is critical.
And nobody wants someone to come in and tell them how to do their job. And
right.
I think that was a stumbling block at one point, and I don't think that really exists too much anymore.
And when you really create a partnership there's a flow back and forth between us and the educators, I think it really works.
And that only can be done with people who get it, and I'm looking at three of them.
Partnerships.
So,
but it would be really wonderful if the schools could start increasing their actual arts teachers, whether that's visual, music, dance.
Yeah. It is sliding.
I know.
It's sliding.
Oh, definitely.
We, I should mention that we have a new program sponsored by PNC, Arts Alive, called Shakespeare 4.0 that will be touring. It allows us to create an apprentice actor company, and they will be going into schools and performing Shakespeare. And there's an online component for teachers to help them prepare for that experience and a social media piece for kids to interact with one another about it.
And PNC Bank has stepped up, haven't they?
I was going to say.
Yeah, really.
Our Magic and Movement, which is part of PNC's Grow Up Great, which is different than the Arts Alive,
right.
The funding for us has really enabled us to take that program, you know.
Yeah, the Arts Alive with the accessibility and then the early childhood program, Growing Up Great, has been wow.
We have about 7 minutes left to the program, so if you want to call and talk about the arts in Columbus, this is your opportunity, 292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org or find us on Facebook. Beth sent us a note on Facebook to talk about a production called Lunch Lady, Tater Tots of Love. It's next weekend, written and directed by a local English teacher, Stefan Fahrenkampf, and produced by a small production company, Shots in the Dark. And this is at the Columbus Performing Arts Center. So look for that. Thank you, Beth. 292-8513. We have Samuel on the line from Columbus. Hi, Samuel.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hey. Yeah, how would I find out more information about the idea of using theater as a means of teaching other types of curriculum? I'm really interested in creating opportunities for people to provide supports to people with disabilities, some learning opportunities, and something different than the typical kind of boring classroom context, which I've worked in and I haven't found very effective. It's not very engaging.
Our education director, Heather Burley, can be reached at hburley@ phoenix4kids.org.
Okay.
She's heavily involved in our intensive theater camps right now, so calling her is difficult, but she will get right back to you. And we have a significant curriculum that we share with people.
Okay, that's marvelous.
Thank you, Samuel.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your call. You know, here we are in the middle of the summer, and all of us know the people with 14, 15, 16-year-olds who can't get a summer job because there aren't any in that age group. Could they go to work as volunteers for any of our arts organizations at any point? Is that viable? Or
I bet all of us have
internships.
Yeah, we have internships.
We all have internship programs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, again, look on WOSU.org/allsides, and we're going to have all the information you need about my three guests and their friends and everything that's going on in the arts in Central Ohio. Don't forget, you can also send us an email or add a Facebook page. We have 5 minutes left, so I want to give each of you a chance to wind up the conversation. Let's begin with Stephen Anderson, CATCO.
Well, you know I'm going to say Avenue Q, Avenue Q, Avenue Q, because it opens on the 1st
that
of August.
Dirty show.
Go and take a look at there's some photos on our Facebook page. CATCO is Theater's Facebook page. Friend it, like it. And there's actually a couple of contests for tickets and T-shirts that say "It Sucks to Be Me," which is another song on the show, and some Trekkie Monster mouse pads. So check it out.
That's not me that said that, ladies and gentlemen. Just to you. And Annette Macy-Junes.
I'm going to say that you need to come over to see the Great Roman Mosaic.
Yeah.
It is on its world tour. It's been to the Met in New York. It's been to San Francisco, Chicago, Columbus. And then it goes to the Louvre and Berlin, the Paris and Berlin, before it goes home to Israel. It will never, I doubt it will ever leave Israel again. It is fantastic. It is a magnificent artifact. So you should come down and see it. It's there until the end of the year. And the other thing, because our good friends at COSI aren't here today, I want to say the museum and COSI are doing a fantastic Lego collaboration this fall, and from starting October through the end of the year. And it's a great program, so think about looking up about that if you're
and
interested.
If you're down at COSI, don't forget to say hi to my colleagues at WOSU-TV, WOSU at COSI, and the wonderful interactive exhibits they have there for young people. We do have a call from Marlene in Columbus. Hi, Marlene.
Hi, how are you?
Good, I'm fine. Go ahead.
Great program.
Thank you.
Yes, I was listening, and I've been in Columbus 9 years, and I think it's a great city for art, and I have some recommendations.
Okay.
There's a guy named Patrick Durkin, and he has a kit called Matizza Pizza. It's in a pizza box, and it has cutouts, and it's for children and adults. They do it everywhere from so you can hold a scissor until you're, you know, 1 foot somewhere. And it's all the proceeds go to Make-A-Wish Foundation or other children foundations. The Glass Axis is also a great place to go. They have do demos. They have classes in glass from making beads to blowing glass to slumping and fusing. There are some great artists that are brought to the city that are masters in glass. Everybody knows the name Chihuly, but also the person that basically brought the glass technique to the United States, Lino Tagliapietra, has come to the city, got an honorary doctorate at OSU. The Hawk Gallery has sponsored him. Sherry Gallery in the Short North has brought glass artists. They do demos at the Glass Axis, and it's a great opportunity for people to learn and watch glass,
okay,
how it's made by the experts.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but we do have to move on. But thank you so much.
I just wanted to throw those in.
Thank you very much. We do appreciate your call. I'm Christopher Purdy. We are winding up here, and I wanted Sherry Mitchell to tell us about what to expect from Ballet Met.
Well, I guess I want to say four things very quickly. One, Nutcracker, which of course is something we do every year and people love. We're doing a special right now, which is 50% off the tickets for the first weekend, and you can get that information on our website, balletmet.org. We're also doing a Global Dance Stars Gala. We'll be bringing our dancers and dancers from across the globe here for one night on August 18th. And then for those of you who want to give a chance to dance, we'll start classes on August 27th.
And you can be 8 or 83, right?
Yes. Oh, and I shouldn't say that. We do a free performance, a collaboration with the Columbus Recreation and Parks Department. Every year, it's August 31st. It's free down in Bicentennial Park.
And I'll take classes. You can come and laugh at me. That'll be fun. We'll use that as a premium. I thank you all. Sherry Mitchell, Ballet Met, Nanette Macy-Junes, the Columbus Museum of Art, and Stephen Anderson, CATCO Is Theater. Thank you all for being here. This is just a sample, folks, of what goes on, the energy that goes on, the talent that goes on here in our community. So do support the arts. I'm Christopher Purdy. Thank you for listening to today's edition of All Sides Weekend. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for 89.7 comes from OSU's John Glenn School of Public Affairs, offering continuing education and graduate degree programs designed for the working professional. More information at glenn.osu.edu.